Okay, shall we start?
So
you can be released. Okay, I find it a little awkward to stand up there in the spotlight. That's just not our culture. So, can you see me? It's a little dim, but I think it's okay. This is I'm closer to you, closer to me. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Well, I don't know about you. I enjoyed this so far this weekend immensely. Yesterday in the evening, I saw three deer passing through my window there. That was quite a treat for me. I believe this kind of time in the weekend, the first that we have done this in the Bay Area, is the right thing to do. And if there would be future occasions, maybe even in a somewhat regular way, I think that would be very profitable, not only to you, but also to the churches, to the Lord's recovery. Well, I told you yesterday that I have no intention nor burden to come here to give some kind of pre-planned messages, or the book that I have recommended to you, any burden to kind of review that book with you. Rather, I have some lots of feeling to come to you just to have chats, to have talk, to have exchanges with you. And although this large group of number of people makes that difficult, I hope that at least this limited time that we have yesterday morning and this morning, we accomplish at least some of that. May I say again that, may I recommend again or promote again this book, The Messages to the Working Saints, so that you would take the next few weeks to quite carefully, taking your time to go through these chapters one by one. I said that there are half of them are more of a spiritual nature, the other half are more of a practical nature, and we need both, or you need both. So please do that. I have testified, especially to some of you who have been in the training more than once, that as I look back in my church life, I would my formative years, my developmental years in the church life, was very blessed in the sense that I was able, as one among many, to be close to Brother Lee. And so opportunities to listen to him speak or give messages live, as well as actually a lot of times behind the podium, so to speak, meaning away from the message-giving times, but the private times, times in his home, times with the brothers in a fellowship environment, the kind of help that we have received directly from our brother, how should I say, is priceless, immeasurable. For me, it will really take eternity to remember it and recall it, and to thank the Lord for it. But my testimony is this: that probably at least half, 50%. Of the help that I receive did not come from that, meaning life speaking, life fellowship from Brother Lee. You say, where did that help come from? Well, I'll tell you this morning, it came from reading the books. Came from reading the books. A good half of the spiritual help that I received, the spiritual enlightenment, the feeding, the learning, actually a lot of learning, came from the reading of the books. So reading the ministry books, I hope, would cease to become just a kind of another round of requirements, you know. Go read the books. Okay, all right. Okay, read the books. I hope so. The Lord had mercy on me from a very young age when I was back in Hong Kong. This is when I was, I told you I had this experience of the Lord awakening. Since that time, which is around 16, 17 years of age, since that time, I had become an avid, ferocious reader of books, and particularly books of this ministry. I started out with Watchman Nee. Those days, in Hong Kong anyway, those were the main books that were published and put out. Then, very soon after that, I began to read books by Brother Lee. Now, we did not have the collected works as we do today, you know, of Watchman Nee. Everything is in it, like this, right? And surely in those years, Brother Lee's had not even entered into his most mature stage of his speaking. That was yet to come in the 70s, 80s, and 90s until his departure. But as it were, those speaking of his, a lot of those were at that time only in Chinese and put out in a little magazine called The Ministry of the Word. Some of the saints here would know. The Ministry of the Word. And I tell you, I literally devour them. All right? And when I read, I don't just kind of read. I read with intense interest. I just hang on every word of those messages, so much so that today, many, many decades later, I can still tell you some of the messages I read. Let me give you one example, all right? There was this one message that he gave to co-workers from the book of Daniel, the last chapter, you know, the Old Testament Daniel. By the way, if you have not signed up for the winter training, you are going to miss it. I don't know. I understand today is the last day. It's past. Yeah. Oh, my goodness. Well, I feel sorry if you have missed that. You better try to find a way to get on the video. This winter training will be on the book of Daniel and the book of Zechariah. Now, you don't want to miss that. You don't want to miss that. You know, I said that, I think I mentioned yesterday, you add these two books together equals Revelation. So we are going to, through these books, get into the prophecies and the world situation and Christ in the restoration, right? Especially in the book of Zechariah. We all have to realize the book of Revelation, contrary to what most Christians believe, is really not a book of prophecy. It's a book of Christ. You have to see that. So anyway, that's a little bit of a side point. My point here is the reading of the books. The reading of the books. I am a absolute beneficiary of the reading of these books. Half of the help that I receive in the Lord's recovery came from reading the books. And as I said, not just turning the pages, but really, really reading with a heart so absorbent, so open to receive and to obey what you read. And I just don't know what to say. I'm a product of reading the books. Now, so I everywhere I go, I just promote books. Some people say, I mean, you just told us one, now you told us another. Read this, read that. I have no time. Well, I didn't tell you to read it tomorrow, right? I tell you to read it for the rest of your life. How about that? Amen. All right? Take the rest of your life or some years to finish what? Let me tell you. Number one, you've got to finish the life studies. If you have not finished the life studies, you are just missing out on so much foundational things of in the Bible, which is marvelously touched and expounded through the lens, as it were, of life. Now, this is unique. It's called the life studies. It's not just a Bible study or some Bible exposition. There's a Bible commentary. There's a lot of those. This is the life study. It is a particular kind of study of the whole Bible from the perspective of life. Now, this has not been done before. And the whole Bible, you know, after 20-some years of labor by Brother Lee in his advanced years, in his matured years, it is his defining work. This is a classic. You have to read it and take years to read it. If you just read two messages a week, it will take you 20 years. All right? I mean, assuming you have never read any. Two messages a week, 20 years. You said, oh my goodness, that's too long. I'd like to finish it in 2 months. Well, I don't think so, because you will get a terrible case of indigestion. And really, if you read something that quick, you're not really absorbing it. You're just flipping the pages. I don't suggest that. I suggest you take your time and absorb them. It's not how much you read actually in the end. How much you got is the important thing, all right? How much you really get. So to do that, I love the word that Brother Lee once used. He said, in order to finish the life studies, which is a lot of messages, don't go in with an idea of enjoying it. You know, some of us, you know, you know what he said? He said, go in with an attitude of enduring it. Now, that doesn't sound so good. Like, you know, something you have to endure doesn't sound like something that is very pleasant or very tasty, right? But he said that for a reason. Because indeed, if you want to finish something, I mean, that amount, that volume of material, you need a measure of endurance. So if you just read these life studies by way of enjoyment, I doubt if you will finish it, because you will only read it when you enjoy it, and when you don't feel like you're enjoying, you stop reading it. See, that's the whole point there of enduring. You just read these two messages a week, and 20 years will pass by rather quickly. This older person will testify to you. In my youthful days, I was just, I mean, every day is so long, you know, like when will be tomorrow? When will I be 20 years old, you know? Nowadays, right, Eddie? I mean, time is like flying. I say, hey, wait a minute, it's too quick here, you know? Before I know it, it's another year. Before I know it, it's another year. Before I know it, it's another 10 years. The older you get, the faster time seems to go by. Well, time really, really flies. And if you devote and schedule your life, even around the word of the Lord, to read this, I will tell you, you will benefit. You will build up a certain kind of spiritual health a certain kind of spiritual immune system, a kind of spiritual constitution. That is what? That will make you so proper, so healthy, so normal. I guarantee you that. I really guarantee you that. The other thing you need to read, endure, is Watchman's collected works, like this. I have not read all of it. I read a lot of Watchman Nee, but I must confess I have not even finished all of the collected works of Watchman Nee. What can I say? You just do it. All I can say is you just do it. Just build it into your life. Just build it into your life. Then you will profit. Now, I'm talking about reading, so that book, that little book in your hands, go and read it and get into it. Okay. Now, this morning, I'd like to share something in this first session, and then we will have a break, and then we'll have a second session. I like to use the second session still for a fair amount of questions. Last night in our condo, we had a great time of more Q&A, and I think we touched a number of very important subjects that was taped, and maybe we will be putting it into the part of the recording that you can download or listen to. That was very helpful. Now, this morning in this session, I like to say something to you about what I alluded to yesterday, and that is on this matter of, I coined this term, pillarization. Pillarization. That means how to become a pillar in the house of God, which, by the way, is part of our destiny, part of your destiny, is to be such a pillar in God's temple. However, before we get into this very quickly, I ask the brothers to call this hymn 600 at the end of our worship to the Father. It's a simple song. It's not particularly deep, but the words there are still very, very touching always to me concerning, on the positive side, how God is everything to us. That God is supposed to be everything to us when he created man. It was due to the fall that some other things came in to become things to man in place of God. So the real recovery of man must mean that man would be returned to his original portion, and that is God himself. I love this song. I started singing it when I was a young person in my junior high and high school days, which I could never forget. I sang it in the translated version in Chinese, and this is the original version in English, and I love these words. Listen to this. Very simple lyrics. I've none but you in heaven above or on earth. That's Psalms, am I right? This, whom do I have in heaven but you? There's nothing on earth that I desire besides you. How empty are the skies. How inferior is this clod. meaning the earth. Nothing here deserves my joys, nothing like my God. You see, to someone who have tasted God himself, to someone who have found the real enjoyment in this God, everything pales, everything fades away. Nothing is deserving of our enjoyment, really, because there's nothing like God. When you have a taste of this God, things drop off. You do not have the sense that you are giving up anything. You have a sense that you are gaining everything. What seemed to be sacrifice or loss, and in one of the chapters in this book, Paul, counting all things as loss, when he did that, or he could do that rather, because what he gained was far too superior, this Christ. We need to have this kind of feeling all the time within us. I owe you wealth, friends, health, abode. Thanks for these meaner things, but they are not my God. Isn't this something? You have to compare everything to God, and nothing compares to God. How vain is glittering wealth compared to you? What safety or health or even friends when compared to you? It is true. It is so true. It's good to have regular times of reflection on things like this. I do that. Were I possessor of the earth, the whole earth, call the stars my own. Without your graces and yourself, I'm still a wretch undone. Isn't that true? Let others stretch their arms like seas and grasp in all the shore. Grant me the visits of your grace, and I desire no more. So, so real. By the way, I also told the saints last night that we do need a kind of recovery in singing and psalming. Particularly, a lot of the songs in this hymnal of ours are deep. They are filtered from thousands and thousands of hymns. It's a special collection that are deeper, that are weightier. And today, one thing that I really regret is that we don't have more hymns and songs of this depth. We might have better melodies, better tunes, but these lyrics, it's hard to find these days. Hard to find these days. So I told Tim over here, Tim Wong, that maybe we should find some tunes that will make the singing a little easier and not, you know, singing Baroque music all the time. But yet retaining these lyrics, because these lyrics are irreplaceable. I really mourn this. I really mourn this, that today we don't have weighty spiritual lyrics. It's just a lot of rather superficial songs. Many of them dwell in the realm of really the emotions and things like this. These are deeper. And not even this song. I mentioned to you, Sister M, Margaret Emily Barber, who was a mentor to Brother Watchman Nee. Actually, today, without Sister Barber, there would be no Watchman Nee as we know it. And without Watchman Nee, there would be no recovery as we know it. We owe a lot to this sister. And what she left with us is not messages, is not books. We cannot find that. It's two things. Number one, her correspondences. And number two, her poems. Her poems. And her poems became songs in many cases. But we have at the most about half of her poems in our hymnal. There's another half that is not here, not set to song, as far as I know. And I will tell you, even though our dear sister would not know the kind of truth that we know today, her spiritual attainment, her spiritual depth is much more than many of us today. You just have to sing her songs. Songs on the matter of the cross, songs on the matter of the Lord's coming, song on the matter of obedience, songs on the matter of faith. We would do well to sing these songs and get into these songs. It feeds you. It feeds you. It nourishes you. All right? It calibrates you. I say this because that's my testimony. That is my testimony. Now, let's talk a little bit about pillarization. Because in the book of Revelation, chapter 3, the overcomer will become a pillar in the temple of God, and he will go no more out. Right? If that is a calling or a promise to the overcomer, brothers and sisters, then that is a promise or a calling to every believer. Because overcomers are not super people. They are not super Christians. Overcomers are just those who, what? Who are the typical, normal, healthy, up-to-standard Christians in the eyes of God in a degenerate condition, in a fallen or degraded condition. So they appear higher only because everything else has fallen below standard, not because they are super. Brothers and sisters, as Christians, in a degraded state of the church, we are here just to be normal again, right? And so all of us should be pillars in the temple of God. That means something built in to that temple, that is God's house, the church, something that is holding up something, right? Supporting something, something of strength. And thirdly, something that is testifying. You see, most of us, when we think of a pillar, we think of structural support. Actually, if you study the Bible, and there's that aspect, but if you study the Bible carefully, and I'm going to go through this briefly with you all, you'll find out the first purpose of a pillar is not to support. The first purpose of a pillar is to declare. A pillar is for declaration. It's for witnessing. It's for testifying. That's what a pillar is. Now, I said that you all must affirm your identity, your spiritual identity, and by extension, your spiritual destiny. You need to reaffirm that, I would even say, every day. Not even once a year, but every day. You need to reaffirm that. Just like a man who's married, a two persons are married, at least once a day, you have to tell your spouse you love her or you love him. Not because this is sort of the thing to do. Now, I know I come from the Chinese culture and we don't do that. It's very, very embarrassing to say I love you to your wife or something. But that's not biblical. That's Chinese. That's not biblical. In the Bible, it's full of I love you, you know? It's very expressive, very, you know. You just go read Song of Songs. It's just all over the place. Okay. So why do you say I love you, dear? Why do you say? And a lot of times, you don't say this after 40 years with all this kind of romantic emotions. You say this to affirm to yourself and to the other party, your spouse, that this relationship is still what you're about. This relationship is still what you treasure. This relationship is still what you believe in. This relationship will not change. You affirm that. You see? It's very important. And you do that every day, not once a year. And in fact, I would suggest for those of us who are married to make that a practice. With the Lord, it's a marriage, totally. It's a marital relationship that you have with the Lord, even as an individual. And so every day you have to affirm that. Then you say, how about the Lord? Is he affirming it? You bet. You bet. I tell you, every time you really go to your inner man, you turn to the Spirit, and you enter into the king's chambers, right? You enter into this secret garden of yours to meet him, you know, to be with the Lord for a while, to have fellowship with him. Invariably, brothers and sisters, you will sense the love chords again, the love bands again. That love, not in audible terms, in the Spirit, is just always there, overwhelming you, drawing you, attracting you. And that's the way God says, I love you still. Or the Lord says, I love you. And brothers and sisters, we need to respond in kind. And to do so is to affirm our union with him, to affirm our marriage with him. Now, every marriage has problems, okay? You know, what kinds of things. The same with the Lord, even with the Lord. There's these situations, mostly on our side, but still some situation. And so you need to affirm that. You need to affirm your relationship with him. So with that, along with that, it's really an affirmation or reaffirmation of your identity. Really, that's what it is. And of your destiny. You tell the Lord who you are, which he knows, but you tell. Actually, you also tell yourself. I'm still a daughter of Jerusalem. You are my beloved. You know, Song of Songs here. I've been betrothed to you. I remember the days of the betrothal. I'm a virgin to you. So on and so forth. You know, this morning when we had the Lord's table, And I just was quite filled again with this feeling of love to the Lord. And I thought about again the story of Mary, who broke the box and pour out on the Lord all that she had. I remember that famous footnote about through the centuries so many high positions. You remember that? Golden futures and so on were given up or sacrificed because they found the loveliness of the Lord. I remember that. I remember the book of Song of Songs, how not only was the beloved so fragrant to this country girl, but that eventually this country girl would become so fragrant to her beloved. This song we sang, I love thee, Jesus, and your love to me, draw me, you know, that song, talks about exactly that. Talk about come north wind and south wind on my garden blow. Let the spices flow forth from my garden, right? For your enjoyment. Dear saints, you know, even at the Lord's table, let me tell you, at the Lord's table, don't make this a ritualistic thing. Don't make this, you know, okay, we have to do that hour of first praise the Lord, then break the bread, then worship the Father, and we're supposed to do it until he comes. Well, all that is true. All that is true. But if you remove this ingredient of love from this, this is just a kind of a, I don't know what, this is just kind of a, what, commemorating something maybe, his death or something. You know what we do at the Lord's table? At the Lord's table, we should all bring our boxes. We should all bring our spices and just pour it again at the first of the week. To as an act again of reaffirmation of our heart for him, of our consecration to him, of our abandonment to him. That's what make the moment intense. That's what make this time meaningful. That's what will lift us out of a ritualistic observance into reality. Brothers and sisters, we have to do that. And you have to stir up your heart. You have to stir up your spirit each time to do that. So what was I thinking of specifically when I thought about Mary, this woman? He poured out, and of course, you know, the people murmured, right? Why this waste, right? Why waste all this on him? And what did the Lord say? The Lord says, leave her alone. Leave her alone. She did this for my burial. And then the Lord said what? The Lord said that the poor you have always, right? But me, you don't. Now, sometimes we misunderstand what the Lord really meant when he said that. What he was really saying was this, listen, was the poor people, you know, if you want to do charity work and be philanthropic and do all these things, the poor will always be there, you know, for you to do that. In other words, he was not against it. He was not saying, don't take care of the poor. He said, the poor you will always have there for you to help. But me, you won't. What he was doing, he was talking to those people around him that he is not going to be with them for long. In a few short weeks, this Lord Jesus will leave them in his flesh. he will leave them. He will no longer be with them as he has. All right? He'll be gone. He will would not be with them like that. So that's what he meant when he said, but I am not with you always. Do you see the point? I'm just going to be with you a few more weeks. This woman, what did this woman do? He not only broke the box and, you know, anointed me. That's almost like, that's wonderful. But what is significant here was that she did it while the Lord was still there, before the Lord left. That is significant. In other words, brothers and sisters, what I want to drive, the point I want to drive here is the timeliness of the matter. You see, the timeliness of the matter. Now, they all heard that the Lord will die. The Lord prophesied that over and over again in the Gospels. The Son of Man will be killed, am I right? 3 days. Okay. They all heard that. They all, and the, probably the brothers all got it up here. They got it. They got it. That's going to happen. But this woman didn't just get it as far as a fact or, something that will happen. But he acted upon it. He seized the opportunity before that happened to anoint the Lord. Now, fast forward. After the Lord died, these people did not have the opportunity to anoint him. You know, even these women, a number of women, brought their spices to want to anoint him. No, he was taken down of the cross and the body was given through Nicodemus, right? And they buried the Lord. They buried the Lord. These ones did not have the opportunity. So actually on Resurrection Day, Mary Magdalene took the lead and probably Mary, the mother of the Lord, all went to the tomb with the spices, hoping to still anoint the Lord. But of course, by then the Lord had resurrected already. So my point is, if you miss that, you missed it. You missed it. It's a timing matter. Now this morning, this is part of my burden. Some people say, I love the Lord. I want to serve him. I want to give my life to him. But please, I'm going to do it. All right? Just give me a little time. I'm going to do this and that. In fact, I heard even brothers say, I'm going to make some money and do this and that. And then the day will come when I'm 50 years old. I can be self-supporting. I will burden the church. At that time, I will serve the Lord. I've heard that many times. From a good heart. But let me tell you, that's not the way. We have another very famous song in this hymnal that we also knew from our youth. It says, if ever I love thee, Lord Jesus, 'tis now. I like to say a word to all of you. You're all at this stage in life where you are filled with energy, both physical and mental. There's a lot of capacity that needs to be unleashed, that want to be developed. And there's a lot of opportunities out there to match that, to meet that. I'm not going to make a value judgment on that is right or that is wrong. I take that back, whether those things are good or bad, all right? But I will make a value judgment here in the sense of time, in the sense of from an angle of time. And that is, just like this Mary Magdalene, she did something that nobody else did. And she got the blessing as a result. And you're not going to repeat this. There's no going back. There's no rewind in this movie, okay? That's it. While the Lord was in the flesh, which is a particular period of his ministry, this one woman seized the opportunity and poured everything out on him, on the Lord, and received a particular blessing. That was not going to be repeated. Now, the other disciples didn't do it. They just didn't do it. Now, let's apply it to us today. Today, the Lord is not in the flesh. Those days are over. Not to be repeated. Today, the Lord is the Spirit. In the Spirit and as the Spirit. And these 2,000 years is a particular period of the Lord's ministry. And this period will not last forever either. This period will end. Just like those 3.5 years would end. This 2,000 years will also end. There will be another stage coming, which is the stage of the Lord's return, the Lord's advent. That will be the kingdom age. In that age, things will be in a certain way. All the believers will have to face that stage, face the Lord, and so on and so forth. That's another dispensation, and the Lord will deal with us according to that dispensation. Today, we're in this church age, or age of grace. To me, this is just like those 3.5 years to the disciples. This age is our age to pour out. That if we don't pour out in this age now, it'll be over. It will be over. You can love the Lord in the next age. You can serve the Lord in the next age, but that's different. That's different. There's something about this age that is special. And we are all born into this age. You say, oh, it's 2,000 years. Probably it will be another 2,000 years. Well, not so fast. At least not according to our understanding of the Bible. This age will not last forever. When will the Lord Jesus come back? I have no idea. Nobody knows. Even the Son of Man himself does not know. Only the Father does. But my word to all of you, dear saints, in spite of the fact that you're young, in spite of the fact that you have so much ahead of you, in spite of the fact that there's so many opportunities available to you, in spite of all of this, don't miss this opportunity. Today, to pour out yourself, pour out your spikenard, pour out your Alabaster box, pour it all out on the Lord. If we don't, there will be regret. There is such a thing as regret in the Bible. There is. Brother Don Looper, you know Brother Don Looper from Austin is this co-worker who died in a heart attack some years ago. And he had this very famous little word for the young people, which I treasure. He said something like, what did he say? Huh? No, no. See the vision. Is it see the vision? See the vision. Something like that. And then count the cost. And then live a life of no regret. Something like this. Well, you get the point. You get the point. I say a strong amen to that. A strong amen to that. Brothers and sisters, you just have to do that. It's not always going to be like this. It's not always going to be like this. The opportunity is still here. It's still here today. Still here. This dispensation is still with us. If ever you love the Lord, it's now. Don't wait until 10 years from now or when you arrive at this position or you made that much money or when you raise your kids, or that may be too late. I don't know, but it could be too late by then. I told you, my dear older sister, just 2 years older than me, my today, at my age, is, you know, they say the 60 is the new 40, you know. And, whoa, we still have a life to live. Don't say I'm old, you know. Retirement is when life begins, you know. You can say all you want. You know, you can say all you want. The fact of the matter is, there is a time, there's a element of time here. There is an element of time here. My word to you is, don't ever wait when it comes to the Lord. Don't ever wait. If you want to pour it all out now. You know, it's like giving, you know. Material contribution. Let's say I have $100. The Lord touched me to give, you know, $25. Okay. So I said, okay, I'm going to give $25. But then you think about it, well, wait a minute. The brothers didn't announce any project recently, you know. There's no particular urgent need, you know. I think the church doesn't need $25 from me. I think I'll give maybe 15, you know, and keep the other 10 for the day when the Lord needs it, you know, or something like that. I'll just put it over here. And so on and so forth. And by the time you figure out all those things, you have about $2.50 left. You just rationalize everything, and so you gave $2.50. Now, we all may laugh. I think you all might have done something like that. I have done something like that, all right? But I'd like to testify to you that whenever I did something like that, then it was over, I always regret. I always regret that I did not do what I was touched to do in the first, like that. I waited, I rationalize, I think, I weigh, I consider, I compare. Then, by then, my consecration begins to shrink. It always shrinks to about here. And that's all I give. Then some time later, I look back, I regret. Why didn't I? And whatever I kept for myself eventually disappears. It disappears. What you're going to save up, you know, for the Lord disappears. It's like manna. It just gets stinks, you know. You don't eat it. You don't get it in time for that day. It just stinks. It's no good for the next day. I also have the experience the other way. And gradually I learn, aha, now I get it. Now I get it. Next time, when the first touch is $25, you don't think, you don't compare, you don't rationalize, you write a quick check and out it goes. Done. I always don't regret that. You see my point? And that money never vanished because it got put in the treasury of God's house. You see my point? The instant, the present, the wholehearted consecration never, will never result in regret. Never, I guarantee you. But the delay consecration, the delay giving, always result in some kind of regret. That's my experience. Now, dollar and cents is secondary. The first thing the Lord wants is us. Is you. Is my life, in your life. So, don't wait. The Lord says, I want, Tim, I want this. I want this of you. Don't argue. I know we all go through a little bit of that. But by the Lord's mercy, learn this lesson. Pour out, break that box while he's still alive. While he is still alive. The poor you have always, but not him. Not him. Remember this. I don't agree that the best time to give yourself to the Lord and all of this, to serve the Lord, is when you retire. I absolutely do not agree with that. I say the best time to give everything for the Lord is now.
Amen.
It's today. While the world is calling, while so many things are bidding, while so many persons are trying to get your attention, the Lord is also there trying to get yours. Now is the time. I am not saying by this fellowship that you shouldn't go to school, you shouldn't, you know what I mean, do your job, you shouldn't, you know what I mean. I'm not saying that. I am not saying. I'm talking about a heart condition. A heart condition. And this, what I'm just talking about, this is the what? Is the ground for you to be pillarized. This is the basis for all this proper spiritual development to occur in you. This is the foundation of your usefulness, right there. Right there. So I'm spending so much time to talk about this matter. Now, there are many things I regretted in my life that I did. Mistakes. But as to my giving myself to the Lord, and I wish I could have done more, not only I have no regret, and at my age, I can afford to look back in retrospect. Not only no regret, not only no regret, but how often I thank the Lord for his mercy that enable me to give myself to him. Amen. When I was young. When I was young. I said already, starting with age 17 until today, that's a long time. I thank the Lord, standing here before you all today. Trust me. Some of you may think you're some old geezer here. You don't know what the world is like today. You don't know the pressure. You don't know this age. You're gone. You're history. Well, in a certain sense, that's true. But in another sense, I must tell you, I know. I know what this age is. I keep up. I may know more than you. Okay? I don't work in Google, I don't work in things, but I think in principle, I may know more than you. So I am not dispensing some kind of just spiritual advice here. I am telling you the truth based on our experiences. Seize the moment.
Amen.
Redeem the time. And give your all to the Lord now. And to his church today.
Amen.
Never once in all these years have any word come out of my mouth of complaint. Oh, I wish, you know, for my own failures, yes, a lot of complaints, a lot of regrets. I'm saying, anything positive unto the Lord, for his church, for his kingdom, never once. Never once. Because whenever I touch the Lord, there's nothing to complain. There's every reason to praise and give thanks. All right, now, pillarization. Very, very quickly. And I think we should finish this session maybe in 10 minutes or so, and then we have a break, and then we can have the second session. Very quickly, huh? Don't worry.